Yes, you can turn back the clock. It's the Growing Younger Radio Show with Dr. Vernon F. Williams, board certified and fellowship trained with the American Academy of Anti-Aging, Regenerative and Functional Medicine, and founder of San Antonio's Wellness and Aesthetics Medical Center. It's time to turn back the clock with Dr. Williams. The truth shall set you free.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Vernon Williams. Today, I am going to be on Facebook, and I'm also on my radio show. I'm on KTSA 550 Talk Radio. My show, Grow Younger Like Me, The Truth Shall Set You Free, is ready to get started. And thank you all for joining me. Today, we're going to talk about something new, controversies in controversial topics in medicine. And when I say that, I want to cover a few things that always have, I get a lot of phone calls about, and I get a lot of questions about. So the first one I'm going to talk about is FDA approval. What does that mean? Well, we all seem to think that if something's FDA approval, that means that you have a stamp of legitimacy. But I want you to understand something. There's been over 500 drugs that have gotten FDA approval that has had to be pulled from the market. And because they've been pulled from the market, they were done so after lots of people got sick and hurt and died from these medications. So simply because something's FDA approved doesn't mean that it's the best thing for you. But what does FDA approval mean? It means that a company has taken the time out and spent billions of dollars to get something approved so that they can get complete authority in using that medication. First of all, if something is natural, they're not usually FDA approved. And that's because it's so expensive to get something FDA approved that only someone that has a lot to benefit from it would do it. So, first of all, if it's a medication, it's usually something that never existed in nature before. That means it's a new compound. What typically happens is a drug company looks at something like sugar, and they go into the lab, and they find they make some changes to the sugar that makes it different from sugar, and they run some tests, and they said, oh, even though we made these changes, it still does what sugar does. All right? So essentially, what they do is they take something that's natural, they put a metal group on it, CH3 group or something on it, or they change one of the bonds to make it into a new compound that never existed before in nature, a new product. And then they tell the FDA, we have a new product. We're going to call it product A. All right? Then they spend about 5 years doing testing on this product. They spend about $500 million doing all these testing on the product. And after they've done this testing, then they have to do trials, right, which takes about another 5 years. Now, it costs about $500 million to $1 billion to do all these testing. Now, typically, let's say that after about 4 or 5 years of testing this product, and the company has spent $300-$500 million on this product, and they find out that there's a lot of problems with this product. Well, this product is too big to fail. They've already spent too much money on it, so that what they do is they hide the data. They go to the FDA to get approval. And approval means that they get a 20-year patent on the product where they're the sole company that can use this product. But the company, the pharmaceutical company, knows that somewhere down the line, all the negative effects of this product didn't come to light. And they figure out that they will probably end up getting some lawsuits over this. So what they decide is, you know, rather than charging the $20 per pill for this product, they'll charge $22 per pill. And they'll put $2 per pill into a little kitty. So when the lawsuits come, they can pay off the lawsuit. And so invariably, 10, 15 years down the road, sometimes sooner, people start having all these side effects, and it comes to the light of everyone. And then you get a class action lawsuit against this company for all the patients who have gotten sick from it or have had adverse reactions, who have died from it. And the lawyers come after the company. And the company, which has this pot set aside for these eventuality, then settles for this pot of money. And the law firm grabs the money up. They keep 40% of it after they've paid all the bills. And then the other, what's left over, they share among the creditor people who've been harmed. And the company that made the products, well, they go away. They've made $20 per pill for this product, and they've just given away $2. And they've made a lot of money in the product. So that's what FDA approved. And so a lot of these products, later on down the line, they get pulled from the side effects. And when they do, you know, the FDA gets a little black eye. There's been over 500 products that have been pulled because of this reason. Now, when something is natural, it means that because they're natural, they cannot be patented. They cannot be owned by any particular person. So no company is going to spend a lot of money, half a billion to billions of dollars, getting something FDA approved if they're not going to be the sole beneficiary of it. So things that are natural, like vitamin C, vitamin D, those are natural. Those kinds of things will never, ever be patented, and they will never, ever be FDA approved. So that's the first side of that ledger. The second side of that ledger is that sometimes a drug, let's say Viagra, was first brought on as a new drug that never existed in the 90s, and it was brought on for blood pressure patients. And after a while, some of these patients started having this side effect from the blood pressure medicine. Instead of them having lower blood pressure, they found that they've been getting erections with the medication. And so the drug company says, a lot of people are getting erections from this. So now, instead of the Viagra being used for blood pressure, it is now being used for erectile dysfunction. So this Viagra was approved for blood pressure. Now it's being used for ED. So sometimes a medication that's approved for one thing can be used off-label for another thing, as in the case of Viagra. So lots of times, you know, you have a side effect which is advantageous for the company that now can use it for other things. All right? So that's what FDA approval means. All right? Now, let's move on to, so just because something is not FDA approved does not mean that it's not good for you. And some things that are FDA approved for one thing can be used for something else off-label. All right? The next question I always get is, synthetics are bad. I only want things that are natural. Well, again, there's a problem here. You see, some things that are synthetic can be good for you. And something that are natural can be bad for you. Here's the difference. Natural usually indicates that it's in nature. All right? Synthetic usually indicates that it's made in a lab. All right? Well, there are lots of things that are made in a lab that's a synthetic that's actually very, very good for you. Let me give you an example. When you have something like testosterone, or estrogen, or progesterone, and it goes into your body, your body can have either one of two responses. It can say, oh, my body just made some new testosterone. Oh, my body just made some new estrogen. Oh, my body just made some new progesterone. You see, things which we call, quote-unquote, natural, means that they usually means that they work well in the body. No, that's not the key. The key is this. In your body, anything that looks identical to what your body makes, that's what you want. You want it to be identical to what your body makes. So if you're going to take testosterone or growth hormone or stem cells, or you're going to take something like estrogen, you want it to look exactly like your body makes. So when it gets into your body, your brain will say, hey, my pituitary made that growth hormone. Hey, that testosterone was made by my ovaries, by my testicles. You know, that's what you want it to say. All right? Now, in a lab, you can make something synthetic in your lab that looks identical to what your body makes. And as such, that is great for your body, because even though it was made in a lab synthetically, when it gets into your body, your brain thinks you made it because it's identical to what your body makes. And because it's identical, that is good for you. Now, on the other hand, drug companies have to change natural things to make them not natural so that they can get a patent from it. And so when you put something into your body that is not identical to what your body makes, then your brain says, oh my gosh, what is this? I have lived with this woman for 50 years, and that does not look like estrogen. That is different. What is wrong? Oh, shoot. I'm going to eat her. And the body has to decide. Should I attack it? Should I destroy it? Should I leave it alone? Should I treat it like something like toxic? And your body makes a determination. I'm going to destroy it because I've never seen it before in my life. That's as opposed to if you get estrogen that looks like what your body makes, your brain says, hey, no problem. Come on in, estrogen. Do your job. All right. So when you have something synthetic, something can be synthetic yet bioidentical, which means that it looks exactly like what your body makes, and therefore it's good for you. And then you could have synthetic, which is made so that it can be patented, which is different from what your body makes, which in most times is not good for you. All right? So that's FDA approval and synthetic versus natural. The reason why I brought those up is because I wanted to talk about a few other controversial subtopics. The first one I want to talk about is stem cells. You know, and I have stem cell seminars in my office twice a month. And, you know, I put it out on the internet, and I get this all kinds of crazy questions about it. So I wanted to set the record straight on a few things about stem cells. First of all, stem cells are natural to your body. Every tissue in your body has stem cells. That means your hair have its stem cells, your bone has its stem cells, your skin has stem cells, your teeth have stem cells, your fat have stem cells, your kidneys have stem cells, your brain has stem cells. There's stem cells all over your body. Hey, George, glad to have you come in and listen to me. I see Divya, you on. Great for you to be here. So anyhow, so all these things have stem cells. The purpose of stem cells in your body is to fix things. As a matter of fact, in your body, you have two sources that fix things. You have growth hormone that fixes things, and stem cells that fixes things. The difference between the two is growth hormone, when your levels are optimal, growth hormone tells your body, hey, fix this problem right now. When your growth hormone is low or not optimal, growth hormone tells your body, you know, this really needs to be fixed, but, you know, take your time, get to it next month or in a couple months. No problem, no rush, no urgency. And that's the difference between having a low or suboptimal growth hormone versus an optimal growth hormone. So growth hormone tells your body to fix things. On the other hand, stem cells fixes things. They don't need to wait. They just do it on their own. They travel throughout your body, and anytime there's a problem, they fix the problem. I.e., they walk into your kitchen, they see the garbage on the ground, they pick the garbage up, put it back in the garbage can. They see the dishes unwashed, they wash the dishes. They see paper all over the place, they pick it up. That's what growth, that's what stem cells does. They walk, go around your body and clean things up. They fix things, whatever it is. It's called regeneration, fixing things. That's what stem cells does. Now, when you're young, your stem cells are young. When you're old, your stem cells are old. And when you're old, just like you take naps and you take your sweet time and you don't get to things, when you're old, your stem cells are old and they don't get to things. They take their naps and they, you know, they may overlook a few trash on the ground. They may forget to wash the dishes. They may forget to clean up your office, you know. They may forget to do all those things because they're old and tired and there isn't as much of them. So in you, your stem cells are the best right when you're born. And then after that, they gradually decline. You have to remember something. When the egg gets fertilized, all right, that egg is a first stem cell. It divides into 2, then 4, then 8, then 16. And by the time you're born, you have over 100 trillion cells in your body just from those initial stem cells. So those are the most powerful stem cells. But unfortunately, when you go after embryonic stem cells, that can affect the baby, and therefore it's illegal in the United States to get stem cells from the embryo. All right? Then you have powerful stem cells in the amniotic fluid. That's a fluid around the baby. You know, but when you do amniocentesis, you stick your needle in there, you could disrupt things and you could actually harm the baby. And so it's not a good place to get stem cells. So it's not something you should do. Then you have the best we have from a newborn baby. See, normally you could donate blood. You could donate an eye. You could donate a kidney. You could donate a heart. You could donate any part of your body you want. Well, there are companies out there that get donated placentas from babies. Typically, when a baby is born, the placenta and the umbilical cord is thrown away. So there are companies out there that actually go to the prospective mom and dad. They do a great interview with mom and dad, see if there's any adverse problems, any problems with mom and dad. Just like if you go to the blood bank to donate blood, if you had HIV or something like that, or you've had malaria, they're going to say, we can't take your blood. Well, those companies goes around to mom and dad, and they interview them, and if they pass their interviewing process, then mom and dad can donate the baby's placenta when the baby is born. Now, once the baby is born, the companies come, they take the placenta and the umbilical cord, and they take it to the lab, they run their tests, they extract the stem cells from the umbilical cord, and they look at it for a few weeks to make sure there's nothing wrong. They do all kinds of testing on it, just like if you give blood to the blood bank, they'll check for HIV, they'll check for certain kind of infections, they'll check for all those things. Well, they do the same thing with the blood. They check for all these things. And then if everything checks on, everything's okay, then those stem cells from the placenta and the umbilical blood is now available to be used. What's really nice about those cells is that they are not immunogenic. So therefore, the umbilical blood from a baby can be given to anyone. It doesn't matter. We don't need to have to check to see if you're a match. They can be given to anyone. Right? So a baby's umbilical cord can be given to 10 different people. All right, so that's how, those are the most powerful. Now, I've always done stem cells. Well, I shouldn't say I've always done it. I've done stem cells for about 10 years. And initially, I started doing adult stem cells from fat, which is still very good. The only problem is that stem cells from fat is your age. So if you're 65 years old and we get fat from you, the stem cells from the fat from you is 65 years old. And so they're not as good as the stem cells from the on umbilical cord. So they're not. Now, so this is what happens. Let's say that you have a 10-year-old grandchild. And she's running and she falls on her knees. Immediately, the stem cells in her knee, they put out an SOS. Hey, guys, we need some help down here. And stem cells all over your body get that SOS, and they rush to the knee. They assess the damage, and they say, boy, this is pretty bad. We're going to need some bone. We'll need some cartilage. We'll need some tendons. We'll need some muscle. We'll need some blood vessel to fix the problem. And some of the stem cells become bone. Some of it becomes cartilage. Some of it become tendon. And they fix the problem. It's when you're 10. When you're 65 and you fall on your knee, the SOS goes out. But most of the stem cells in your body, they don't even hear the SOS call. They don't even show up. And what stem cells do show up is just a few stem cells, and they're weak and tired, and they just don't have the energy to fix things. So that's the difference. All right? So, you know, your body is always regenerating. What does that mean? You know, a lot of times we think doctors fix things. You know, if you get a cut on your hand, you can go to the doctor and he can sew it up. Sewing the laceration up doesn't fix the problem. All it does is pull the skin together. The body has to actually go in there and regenerate the skin, regenerate the tissue, and fix the body. That's your stem cells doing that. I call stem cells your physician inside of you. Your stem cells are always going through your body and fixing things. If you break a leg, a bone in the leg, you don't need to go see an orthopedic doctor to get it fixed. Let's say you do. The orthopedic doctor sets the bone, puts you in a cast. That didn't fix the problem. It didn't. Your stem cells went around and got all the growth factors, got all the plumbers and get the mechanics and get the electrician and get the sheetrock person down, and your stem cells fixed the problem. As a matter of fact, if you didn't go to see the orthopedic doctor, your stem cell would, over time, fix that broken bone. So your body is always regenerating itself with or without the help of a physician. Right? That's what your body do. And your body does it with stem cells. So when someone says, well, I don't know if stem cells is good for me, I hear doctors saying that too. I don't know. Well, guess what? The studies show that if there was a new cure out there, it would take 15 years for 50% of the doctors to start doing it. That means in those 15 years, 50% of the doctors are not giving you the best care that you can get because they lag behind. Doctors don't want to change. They stick with what they learned, even though medicine is moving ahead faster than the iPhone. There are changes going on all the time, but doctors are still practicing the way they used to practice 10 years ago. They refuse to change. It's like saying, you know, I'm not going to upgrade my iPhone. I'm going to keep the one I got in 2010. Well, good luck with that, buddy. See, stem cells is at the cutting edge, and you got to be on the cutting edge to be able to effectively take care of your patients. All right? So that is what stem cells does. It helps with any problem you have, it will help. If we can get stem cells to your Alzheimer's disease, it will help your Alzheimer's. If you can get stem cells to your pancreas, it will help your diabetes. If you can get stem cells to your kidney, it will help your kidney problems. If you can get young, healthy stem cells to any problem in your body, it will help you. In the United States, we are allowed to do stem cells for orthopedics, bone and joints, sexual health. We're allowed to do for aesthetics. So when we put stem cells in your knee because you have knee damage, that helps your knee fix itself. All we're doing is giving your knee more doctors to fix itself. You're helping the knee regenerate itself. That's what you're doing. When you put stem cells in your back because you have narrowing of a disc, the stem cells are going to go in there and start ripping things out and putting things back together and repairing it, just like you would when the crew goes in the road and rips the road up and make a new road. That's what your stem cell does. If you put stem cells, if you're doing a vampire facelift and you put stem cells in your face, it will make your face younger and healthier. If you're getting a priapic shot because you want to have a better functioning penis, guess what? You use stem cell, it will function much better the way it used to. Wherever you put PRP, wherever you put stem cells, it will make that area better, younger and healthier and better. All right? So, you know, I just got to say that, you know, my time on my radio show is about to end. So I just want to remind you that this is Dr. Vernon Williams. My phone number to call in is 210-559-5959, 210-559-5959. You can email me at bfwillimd@twaamc.com. My book, Grow Younger Like Me, B29 Again, is available at Barnes & Noble, all the bookstores. It's also available at www.growyoungeragain.com. And I am going to have a new book coming out on stem cells, PRP, growth hormone, young blood, all coming out in the very near future. So watch for that. For more information, you can call the Wellness Aesthetic Medical Center at 210-495-8558, 210-495-8558. Or you can call me on the internet at www.feel29.com.